Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a roadrunner, a honey.
On the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And then I'm going to once again give you the new name as they're rebranding. And over the Independence Holiday Weekend, Independence Day Holiday Weekend, they're going to officially go to the new brand. And so Red Nation Rising will be no more in essence. Okay, so we'll go through that a little bit later on in the show. But right now it's rednationrising.us, and we are here live, ready to go on Red Nation Rising. We'll be up there later on tonight at midnight our time. That's Eastern Standard Time. Got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll start off here in a moment with sort of where we left off last night, and that is right before the president's speech, rally, whatever you want to call it, in Iowa. So we'll talk about that. The health care bill is out. I have not read it yet. It's only 142 pages, though, so I intend to read it. However, I do have some highlights, and we have, of course, already some mutineers, you might want to call them. And we're going to talk about some echoes of the show. That's right. And that event yesterday in Flint has been officially declared by the FBI a terrorist attack. You know, it's interesting because when that character drove his drove a van into the Muslims leaving a mosque a few days ago, they were so quick to describe him as a white terrorist. And yet when a real terrorist, and he was a terrorist, and it does appear as though that was a credible terrorist attack in the sense that he did perpetrate it. He was known as sort of a Looney Tune, I guess, in his neighborhood there. Not to say, I don't know, who might have influenced him, but he appears just to have been off his rocker. But the terrorists that are showing themselves during this month of Ramadan is something a little different. And this guy in Flint was, you know, the Islamic terrorist, the Allahu Akbar business, right? And thank goodness Ramadan will be over this weekend. Perhaps there'll be a subsiding of these attacks. So we're going to cover a lot of room area tonight, and Admiral Don Loren is going to join us, and he's coming to town this weekend. Matter of fact, coming into town today, and he's going to be representing an organization called Vets for Energy Independence at a convention here. So he's going to tell us all about that. That'll be in the next hour of the show. The Rays are off today, so we got the full 2 hours on the airwaves. I hope you'll be with us the whole way. All right. Rick Brown is back in town.
Hello, sir. Welcome me back.
Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. And you and Captain Price, Tom Price. Tom Rice. So we went down to the Keys.
We spent an incredible 2 week in the Keys with 46 of our closest friends and just had a wonderful time.
And it was a celebration of life.
It was a celebration of life. We committed Tom's wife, Karen, to the sea last Sunday. Tom did it right. He chartered 2 60-foot schooners and took everybody out to Woman Key where we had the ceremony. It was very, very nice.
Ah.
We had a great tribute to a wonderful woman who we'll miss dearly.
I see. And I, of course, am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Nick, the marathon Lo Cicero, Marathon Man Lo Cicero is on the bridge, and 407-774-8255 is the number.
And by the way, you made me stop and pull out my phone last night.
How's that?
Because it was contest night, and you said it was Thursday.
I know.
I stopped and pulled my phone and said, was I supposed to be there?
I tell you what, I got a bunch of, hey, don't you know it's Wednesday?
I even text you, but I accidentally text somebody at my office instead of you, and I said, by the way, it's Wednesday. Thank you very much.
I'm probably wondering, what did you gotten into?
Yeah, she said, what was that about?
It was contest night last night. Now, of course, the contest night is usually Thursday night, so anyway. The old brain went off on its own direction last night for a little while. I'm oftentimes amazed at some of the things I say. Where did I come up with that? Right?
I never think about what I'm going to say. I like to be as surprised as the person I say it to.
Exactly, you know. So anyway, let's start with the president last night in Iowa, because he made some news, and the people there actually made some news in the sense that they are still – I should say they. We are still enthusiastic about this president.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some ups and downs, but all in all, the people who supported this president still support him. There was some people there who were there the night before. They slept overnight. It was like, you know, you're waiting to get those special
like the release
concert
for new
tickets.
iPad.
Yeah, or whatever. Right. And so, of course, the media is amazed by this. They can't understand it.
Of course not.
Right. You know,
it doesn't fit anything they believe.
They see the world through their little prism, right? And it's only got their little colors and their little, mm-hmm. you know, kaleidoscopic ideas.
It just doesn't look like a duck.
No. And the crowd was enthusiastic.
It was a monstrous crowd.
It was.
You could hear when those cheers went up. It was incredibly full.
And once again, I mean, they turned away people, and people lingered around just to be outside, even though they couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was peaceful, and the president gave another rousing speech and teased around with the media a little bit and made some news. You know, the media were trying to pick him apart. This morning, you know, oh, he was wrong about this. He was wrong about that. At one point, he starts talking about CNN, and he goes, oh, look, they just turned the camera off. And in fact, they did. And so this morning, they were trying to, well, that's only because they were going to do it anyway, right? And only Fox carried it live the whole time.
They're still dumb enough not to realize how effectively he tweaks their nose, and they bite on it every single time.
They think he's biting their little, you know, pieces of bait. They're eating his up. I mean, I'm sure they're getting up early in the morning now just to be sitting there waiting for that tweet, that first tweet from Trump to come through, right?
How many cycles did he get on Confefe?
He's still doing it, right? And I can just, once again, I can see him with Melania. Hey, Melania, I just misspelled his word, but I'm going to send it anyway. Watch him jump on this one.
Did you see Rubio yesterday?
No.
He sent out a tweet with Confefe in it. In reference to the media.
Oh, Lord.
It was hilarious.
I did see some tweets going around, though, about him not being a very good hugger.
Oh, my Lord.
And then Ivanka Trump tweeted out, "Oh, I know Marco Rubio, and he's a very good hugger." And I'm thinking, does your husband know?
Yeah, right?
So anyway, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio on Twitter, and you can follow Rick at
Politically Uneasy. Politically UNEASY.
Easy. All right. Okay. So he was there. A couple of things he made some news about. One in particular, immigration.
Immigration, yeah. He's part of his plan. He's proposing that immigrants coming into the country need to wait 5 years before they draw any kind of welfare benefits, which I think is brilliant.
It is. You know, it was interesting. The media's take, at least MSNBC's take on that this morning, was, oh, there he goes lying again. That's already the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here thinking, well, if it's already the law, then why isn't it being enforced? I mean, if it's already the law and he just enforces it, hasn't he just done it?
It's already the law, then how is it a lie?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? If he's going to actually do it, it doesn't matter if he has to write new legislation or if it's already there. I mean, that was the problem with Obama, is he just walked away from some particular laws that he just didn't feel like enforcing.
He walked away from his responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly, because his oath of office is to uphold the laws of the land, not just the Constitution, but all the laws that are passed constitutionally.
Right.
And so you're right. That's a good way to put it. He walked away from his responsibility, and this guy is not. This guy is taking responsibility. And, of course, by this guy, I mean President Trump. So he also gloated, but certainly noted.
No, he gloated.
Okay, all right. And rightfully so. Exactly, about the election in mm-hmm. Georgia and South Carolina. And it's funny because leading up to it, it was all about that it was going to be a referendum on him. And then it was, after it was over, you don't hear much of that out of the media anymore. And so he said, fine, if it's referendum on me. And his spokespeople have been saying the same thing. So
Nancy said that within 6 points, it was still in play. It could have gone either way. Not to mention the fact that it was a lot more than 6 points since they had her down, but considerably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, she has been the gift. I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi that keeps on giving. And perhaps I gave some advice. I hope I don't regret giving it the other night when I said they should change the leadership because they're actually talking about doing it. Oh, no, don't.
Don't.
I take that back.
Take it back.
That analysis was ill-advised.
It was fake news. You do not want them to remove her from that position, Chris.
She's the greatest thing since sliced bread, buddy.
She is the gift that keeps giving for sure.
Isn't she, though? All right.
The great prognosticator.
I'm hesitant, though, to say what I said and I've said repeatedly about Barack Obama because he was the gift that kept giving, too, in terms of the turnover in Democrats to Republicans in state houses, including the Senate and the legislature, and now, the House of Representatives and now the White House, I said, and started saying this on our very first show. I said, as a matter of fact, we teased this. Our commercials promoting the first show was, listen in to hear Chris Hart explain why he's going to, or no, why he would kiss Barack Obama. I don't think I'd do that with Nancy Pelosi.
Not with your lips.
I might come away and not have anything left, right?
Okay. I heard today that in her tenure, she's lost 66 House seats as head of the DNC and recovered only one.
Yep. And
they still keep her.
Yeah.
She's like Mata Hari. They're so fearful of this woman. And what she would do to people. I would love to see her Rolodex and her picture file because it's got to be deep.
I'm sure it is. All right, we'll pick the conversation up on the other side of the break. Rick Brown and myself and you, 407-774-8255. And we'll talk about the health care bill. It's out. We got some highlights and we got the mutineers, names and all.
And it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. All right. Welcome to American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, coming to you live. And we just added Aubrey Conn to the mix here. Aubrey.
The con man.
Yes, the con man. All right. Welcome back to the show. The health care bill was presented today. They first had a closed-door meeting of the Republicans. And
How dare they?
The leadership revealed the bill to the rest of the Republican Senate, and then they revealed it to the world. And Mitch McConnell presented it, and it is 142 pages. Bless their hearts.
It's a whole lot smaller than Obamacare was.
Indeed, it is.
Is that less than 0.1% the size of the last bill?
Yeah, about that, exactly. Matter of fact, about 5%. You're right.
0.1. Yeah, because it was about 10,000 pages.
By the time they got, and I think they're still writing the doggone thing. anyway.
I think that was the plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just gleaned some highlights before the show, and we'll get the whole thing and put up on our Facebook page. And there's new stuff going up there every day. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. It ends the Obamacare mandates. They are no more. And as it is right now, the president has ordered HHS not to enforce them, but this would end them officially. It also, quote-unquote, cuts Medicaid, the expansion of Medicaid. In essence, it doesn't cut it. It slows it down. It slows the growth down. But, of course, we know in Washington, the Democrats say any slowing of growth is actually a cut,
right?
Which is a perversion of the word cut, because you're just slimming back the rate of growth. You're not actually cutting into.
In their world, if taxes were going to grow 30%, and with their new bill, it only grows 28%. They've cut 2%.
Right. Now, once again, I don't have the numbers. But it does slow the growth of Medicaid, and that's also what the House bill did. And it provides a reformed credit system to help people buy insurance. We've been talking about this on the show before, and I don't know the scale of up to what income levels you will be able to get the credits and how much. But they are to help you buy insurance on the private market, to revive the private market, not the Obamacare exchange. And it drops requirements for your insurance policy. One of the problems with the Obamacare insurance is you have to buy a policy that has everything in it.
My 90-year-old mother had to have birth control.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so did you and I have to have abortion.
Right.
Yes.
Provision.
Right.
Provisions.
Yes. That's what I mean. Everybody has to have everything in it. And this is their idea of fairness, because when before Obamacare, let's say a man and woman went same age, same demographic, would buy insurance, she would pay more than he because she would need more things to be covered. Kind of because she has more things that need to be covered.
Correct.
Because of birth.
Right.
And so that was an attempt to balance things out. So it was penalize everybody rather than try to find a way to bring the cost for women down. You see what I'm trying to say?
It didn't work.
No. Even then, it still didn't work.
Because our young ladies that we cover at our company are still at least double what a healthy 20-year-old male is.
Right. And this Obamacare was supposed to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
That was the logic behind requiring men to have abortion coverage
and
maternal coverage. You see? It was to equalize everything. That's the communist idea.
Yep.
That we're going to equalize everything. All right. Well, that clock has run out on us again, so we'll take this break. It's a hard one. Tommy, you'll be up on the other side of the break.
Up first.
And you, too, can be a part of the show, the American Adversaries, and we'll continue fleshing out the health care bill as much as we can tonight, and then we'll provide more information as the weeks go forward. I should say as the days go forward, because they're planning on voting on this thing next week.
Amen.
Got four Republicans, though, who are putting up a fight. Surprise, surprise.
Idiots.
We'll be back.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being with us tonight. All right. As I said, we got Aubrey Kahn joining us in the studio, along with Rick Brown and myself, Christopher Hart. And Tommy has been patiently waiting, so we'll go right to his call. Tommy, thanks for being out there. We appreciate that.
Man, it's always good to talk to you. I haven't come up with any good songs about Hillary going to prison, but I'm working on my second rendition. It'll be coming forth, you know.
Now you're the fellow who did the Folsom prison blues one that time.
That's exactly right, boys.
I'm the one.
Author of that one, and proudly admit to it. And man, listen, isn't it a great day to wake up in this country and just say to yourself, Donald Trump is my president.
Yeah,
it's awesome, boys. I mean, seriously, isn't it great?
Every day, Tommy.
I want to extend a warm hello to Aubrey.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
How are you, my friend?
Always blessed.
I'm glad to hear that you're on the show today. Listen, I'll get to the point. You know, you mentioned about these tax breaks or people getting
welfare
credits as soon as they. Well, thank you very kindly. I'm going to bring up, but you know, back 20 years ago, there was a spate when people would come into the country and they would buy gas stations and they would not have to suffer any tax ramifications for like 7 years. And that used to just burn me up because it's like, look, if you're willing to give someone not even from this country that kind of break, why wouldn't you give it to one of the brightest, you know, business-minded students coming out of college? You know, give him a loan to take on that particular, you know, gas station or business or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it just used to just totally chap my butt that a perfect stranger to this country could get a break like that.
Well, yeah, Tommy, it's no different to GE. They got a 5-year tax-free break from Obama.
Is that right?
Yeah, they didn't have to pay taxes for 5 whole years. And, of course, the CEO of GE was his financial advisor.
Yeah, who just resigned, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking about is preferential treatment, and it is wrong. It's wrong whether it's GE or people who come here. What's that?
If you're going to give it to somebody, give it to somebody that deserves it. You know,
well, the bottom line is, if you're going to give it to somebody, you should give it to everybody if they qualify, you know, under the same circumstances. But the point is, I mean, if we're going to finance entrepreneurship, why not finance our own too, right?
Exactly.
So that's what you're talking about with these tax breaks, and I believe what you're referring to is a particular kind of visa where they come here and invest money here, and then receive a tax break as part of the incentive, and they also, if they stay, I believe, can get citizenship.
Citizenship,
mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Right.
So it's
one
part.
One more point.
Yeah.
There's a network. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, it would surprise me if you weren't, but it's called One America News.
Yes.
And you mentioned a little while ago that Fox was the only channel that carried Trump.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what MSNBC said this morning. But in fact, One America News carries all of his speeches as well.
Right? Yeah, and they did a fine job. In fact, I thought last night they did a better job than Fox.
Well, actually, I think even though they're a much lower budget operation, they're doing a better job than Fox when you want to get down to the news and covering what's really going on. And they have not shied away from the Seth Rich murder. So
that's right. And they got a little girl on there. Not a little girl. She's a grown woman. And the girls, they're not hard to look at. But this one girl, I forget her name, but she is very intelligent and is a great representative of the right, you know, the Republican Party. She really is. And listen, with that, boys, I appreciate everything you do. Aubrey?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have a good night, man. I look forward to seeing you again sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, you want to do a song about Hillary?
What about it, Aubrey?
Take the music from Working on the Chain Gang.
All right, Tommy. Thanks for being with us tonight. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Same to you. Okay. There was some other things that the president said interesting having to do with immigration while we're on the topic. One had to do with the wall.
He was going to cover it in solar panels and make it a solar wall.
And he beautiful.
And he said that way Mexico would not have to pay as much.
And the environmentalists can't help but love it, right?
That's right.
Energy independence, green energy. All right. He says, I certainly hope that he just tweeted this out. He says he hopes the Democratic Party does not get rid of Nancy Pelosi. That would be bad for the Republican Party.
That's true. That's very true. Absolutely true.
Yeah. So that advice I was giving you to Democrats the other night, forget it. Okay. So the health bill is out. It's 142 pages. It leaves room for improvement. There will be a time for amendments to be offered. Once again, this is being done through the budget reconciliation process. So it's, in fact, a budget bill. So if you want to see it, you needed to look up under the Senate budget bill, okay? You can go, I believe you can go to senatebudgetbill.gov or something like that. But anyway, you can find it, Google it. And there will be time for amendments. The Senate Majority Leader McConnell, the poodle himself, has risen up and barked pretty loud. He has given the Democrats 10 hours to offer amendments. 10 hours to offer amendments. Any amendment they want, they can offer it up, and it'll be up for a vote. So now it's time for them to put up or shut up. If they really want to put up a substantive idea that can improve this bill or replace it, they can do it with the amendment process. They'll have 10 hours to do that. The Republicans will have a time where they can do the same. And I guess perhaps we will see some amendments from some Republicans. There are four who have come out and said they oppose the bill as it is. Those four are, help me out with
Lee.
This. All right, Mike Lee.
Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
Rand Paul
and Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. They say that as the bill is now, they could not vote for it. That does not mean, just like it happened in the House, where you had, they're sort of like the conservative Freedom Caucus, right, of the Senate.
Right.
These would be, with the exception of Rand Paul, who's more libertarian, but nonetheless, Lee, Cruz, and Johnson are very conservative.
They don't think it goes far enough.
Right. I'm sort of surprised not to see Tom Cotton in here. He might tag on with them as well. So they'll be able to offer up some amendments. Perhaps there will be a compromise made, just like was done in the House, and a bill be passed out next week.
They just need to hurry up.
Yeah, and so the plan is to have the amendment process and then the vote next week. And as I said, it is a budget bill. So at the end of the day, they do need to vote on something, right?
Yep.
And it does have tax cuts in it, similar to the House plan, which sets up the bigger tax reform to come in the next big piece of legislation, which also will be done via the budget reconciliation process, once again, because it only requires 51 votes. Now, I know that the part of the disappointment, shall we say, on the conservative side is they promised to repeal and replace Obamacare. This does not do the whole job. But it's like I've been saying on the show for a couple or 3 months now. And in politics, you got to get what you can get while you can get it.
Yep.
Right?
And worry about it later.
And then you come back later for more. And it'll be an issue that they'll run on, I'm sure. Because whatever they get done this year, they'll come back next year. But once again, they won't be able to use the budget reconciliation process, so it's going to require 60 votes, you see? And that's where the Democrats can put a kibosh on the whole thing.
And, you know, Chris, we all want to see it repealed. But from a small business perspective, doing away with the mandates puts America back to work.
What this does is it it eliminates the worst of Obamacare. All right. It doesn't eliminate everything, but it eliminates the worst of it and sets in motion the replacement of the rest of it.
Yep.
And so it's a huge step in the right direction. I mean, does it get us to our final destination? No. But it turns the course and gets us moving in a big way where we want to go. And so hopefully they can put something together that will satisfy everybody who's already on board and include then Lee, Cruz, Paul, and Johnson. Johnson himself kind of doesn't like using the budget reconciliation process. He was talking about that this morning on MSNBC, but I'm sitting there thinking about it while he's talking about how else are you going to get anything done? You don't have the 60 votes.
Nope.
And he was saying, you know, I think we should have reached out across the aisle. Well, they did reach out across the aisle. And the Democrats said no.
The other side of the aisle is not interested.
No, they're not. They don't want to see anything done.
This is the only way to get something passed at right. this time.
Exactly. And it would be the Democrats' worst nightmare if this bill would pass. Would it be everything that the Republicans dreamed of? No. But it would be the worst nightmare, believe me, the worst nightmare of the Democrats, because it does eliminate the worst of Obamacare. Yep. And it turns back toward the free market system, albeit with tax credits to buy, but nonetheless buying in the free market what you want. No more requirements. What you want
it
to buy.
It is huge.
And if you don't want to buy anything, that's your choice too. You'll have to live with it, but it'll be your choice too. And that's what America is all about, or at least was and is supposed to be. And this is what making America great again is all about, mm-hmm. right? And you don't just go from where we were to where we want to be in one fell swoop. You got to take it a few steps at a time. All right. We'll go ahead and take another break and come back and wrap up this hour. But don't forget, we got a whole another hour to go here tonight. And we got some other stuff to talk about as well. And don't forget, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Brand new stuff up every day. A lot of serious stuff, a lot of informative stuff, and a lot of funny stuff, too. So please do check us out. And we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. You gotta keep them separated. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, here we are. We are the American Adversaries. We separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and the real news from the fake news.
What about patriots from communists?
We'll separate those out, too. All right, that's Aubrey Kahn along with Rick Brown and myself. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Then you got Larry Elder, who's going to take it from there. I'm sure he'll have some comments about the health bill and other things as well. Yeah, I really enjoy listening to his show. He's got a great show. By the way, Hugh Hewitt, who has been on vacation, will be back tomorrow. And he is going to be also on MSNBC, not just as a commentator. He's on there now occasionally as a commentator. They have him as a guest sometimes on the Sunday morning show and sometimes during the week. Now he's going to have his own show on MSNBC. Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock for a half hour. All right? So imagine that. So that
imagine be, that.
Yeah, and I think it starts this Saturday. I'm not sure about that, but you can keep your eye out on for that. By the way, sitting in for him this morning was a fellow who is one of the higher-ups. He's one of the big dogs at Salem, and I enjoy listening to him. Tom Tratup is his name. And at some point, a caller called in, and they were talking, and Tom said, "Yep, it's kind of sometimes kind of you know on radio and stuff. It's kind of like the World Wrestling Federation." I'm going, "There you go, Tom.
I heard that.
You're listening to the adversaries. All right." I tell you, we are the voice to be reckoned with, and I did say that the Democrats. I was waxing philosophic. Saying that the Democrats owe it to us to have better leadership and better ideas. And in a philosophic sense, they do. Obviously, in the raw political sense, forget all that.
That's right. Tactically, they're right where they need to be.
Exactly. And the president stressed that on a tweet today. But I did say, you know, that they, if they really want to move forward, they're going to have to change their leadership. Well, lo and behold, there are some Democrat members of the House who are saying it's time.
Nancy says, I listen to opinions from all the members, but they don't get to determine when I step down.
Right.
Only I do.
She knows her place, don't she? Uh-huh. And she also makes sure they know theirs, too. Right.
But she also mentioned that she is the best leader of the House that the Democrats have ever had.
That sadly may be true.
Her modesty is only exceeded by her stupidity.
She's been in a leadership role for 2.5 decades.
I know.
Yeah.
It's unprecedented. It goes back to the George W. Bush administration and before. So, yeah, she's got a tight rein on, a tight grip on the reins of power. And the advantage that she brings is she does raise a lot of money for the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The disadvantage is she loses a lot of elections for the party.
Yeah, they've only won one seat and lost something like 66
in the House alone.
But you know what?
And then there are the state races too. I mean, she's part of the Democratic leadership, you know, who was so pro Obama, and it has cost them dearly.
Mm-hmm. But you know, one thing about Nancy is she gives truth to what Garfield the Cat, who's America's greatest philosopher, said.
Hey.
And Garfield said that life is like a hot bath.
Yeah.
It's great while you're in it, but the longer you're in, the more wrinkled you get.
Okay. Well, I know her ideas are old and worn out. I mean, they're virtually non-existent anymore. She is a good political warrior, but she is bereft of ideas. And what the Democrat Party needs right now is some good, fresh ideas.
No, they don't.
They won't know what to do with them.
You know, just stop telling them what to do. One thing the Democrats used to always do, and the Republican leadership, who are a bunch of knuckleheads, would listen, is the Democrats would say to the Republicans, this is why you lose elections, because you're not doing this, this, and this. And, of course, the Republican leadership would go and do exactly what the Democrats told them, and they'd lose the election again.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but you're giving them good advice, so shush.
So I'm fine with her staying where she is.
Thank you.
She's a great leader of the opposing party.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's,
keep it up, Nancy.
In essence, that's what the president tweeted out today. And he also tweeted out about the nonsense of these investigations going on. Jay Johnson testified yesterday, and he testified to what we've been talking about on this show repeatedly. Yeah, okay, the Russians tried, but what did they do? Well, nothing. Maybe.
Let's impeach Trump.
We think hacked into the DNC, right?
Yeah.
They tried to get into other systems, and there's some discrepancy in the testimony. Some local elections officials said the government could have done more to warn them and help them. Former Secretary Johnson said that they were doing everything they could to keep everybody informed. But one woman said that when he was asked directly on several occasions, were the Russians trying to get into systems like their own, he said no. He said, no, that was real time. That was at the time when it was supposedly happening. This would have been last August, September, and October. And he said no back then. Now, he was either lying then
or
for some reason.
Now.
Or he's lying now.
Take your pick.
I mean, what is it with these guys? It's like Clapper, you know, admitting, I had to tell you that because it was the least painful thing to tell you. I couldn't tell you the truth. So then just say you can't say anything, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of concocting a lie. So
they don't know the difference.
Right. The bottom line is he admitted that there was not one single vote that was altered in any kind of mechanical way by the Russians from hacking or any right. other fashion. Okay.
Therefore, we should impeach the president.
Right. But he did follow on to say that, however, how many minds they might have influenced and how, I can't say.
What kind of comment is that?
An idiotic one.
Yeah.
But it was throwing a bone to the Democrats, if you want to call it
anybody
that.
Follow up with, how would they have done that?
Right. No.
No.
Not so much. No. So we didn't really find out anything we didn't already know, especially if you've been listening to this show. All right. Once again, echoes of the American adversaries, titans of talk radio we are. And we are getting ready to take another break. We got an hour in, an hour to go. And then don't forget, Larry Elder follows us with his own great show. Really enjoy listening to him. Okay, we're the American Adversaries. Don't forget, please check out our Facebook page, American Adversaries, our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can check out our archive and go back and listen to that very first show and see if I don't say I'd kiss Obama right on the lips. No tongues, but right on the lips. We'll be right back. I hope you'll be with us.
I just threw up.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
I tell you, it's hard to keep up with this President Trump. He is, I tell you, he's a dynamo, isn't he? Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the American Adversaries Drive Time Now Primetime Show. Once again, we're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. And the Rays are off tonight, so wherever you're listening, whether it's on the airwaves or over the internet, you got us for the full hour here. And by us, I mean Rick Brown. He's in the driver's seat. He's back in town, a little vacation time and special vacation.
I am rested. I am tanned. And I am looking forward to the next vacation, which starts in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Why, is it election season already?
Yeah, you got Aubrey Kahn in the studio. Of course, Aubrey sits in on Sunday nights when we do our classic 3-hour tour version of the American Adversaries.
Sometimes I sit, sometimes I sit and thinks.
That's it. That's every Sunday, of course, here, 5 to 8. We do 3 hours on Sunday night. And you got Nick LoCicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. A little bit later, pardon me, a little bit later on this hour of the show, we're going to be joined by Rear Admiral Don Loren with a group called Vets for Energy. He's going to be in town. I think he's coming into town today. We'll find out. For the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention, which is going on this weekend here in Orlando. So we'll find out all about that here shortly. In the meantime, just want to bring you up on a couple of little bits of news in case you didn't hear us in the first hour. You probably do know already, obviously, that the health bill is out. It's a mere 142 pages, a very small fraction of what Obamacare is. It is just a couple of highlights. It ends Obamacare mandates. It slows the growth in the Medicaid, the people going on to Medicaid. It provides credits for people to buy insurance on the private market of their choosing. What I mean by that, it drops the requirements that everybody have the same policy.
What about across state lines?
I don't know. Okay, I don't think that's in this. And the reason, and without having read the 142 pages, this is a guess. Because that was something that they couldn't get done through the budget reconciliation process. This is, in fact, not a health care bill. It is a budget bill. And if you look for it on Google, it is the Senate budget bill, not Senate health care bill. Okay? That's because it's the budget reconciliation process. So that is something that they'll have to come back and try to get. And that's part of the problem for some conservatives. Is that it doesn't go far enough to repeal all of Obamacare. Right. Do things like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Ron Johnson have all written a letter, joint letter, saying, as it stands now, we could not vote for this bill. So that, let's just say that means that the other 48 senators on the Republican side will. They're too short. Because they need 50 plus Vice President Pence would cast the tie-breaking vote,
right.
And assuming all the Democrats vote against it. Now, they'll have an opportunity to offer some amendments, 10 hours, but they'll have an opportunity. And but this budget bill does need to pass, and Cruz has made it clear that, and I believe Rand Paul as well. Rand Paul, I think, is going to be the tougher one to get. Cruz has made it clear that he wants to get something that they can pass. So he's indicating I'm ready to wheel and deal.
He said he wants to be a yes.
Yeah, and this is kind of what this is all about. This is politics. This is these guys teaming up and saying we can get a little bit more if we stick together, and we'll see how it goes. But this
how together are they though? I mean, they were saying different things when they interviewed him, right?
That's what I mean.
Cruz wanted lower premiums. Paul wanted something to look more like a repeal.
Right. So I don't think that it's important that all four of them are satisfied.
Right.
It's only important that two of them
are.
That's
what I was getting at. You might be able to get one or two where you don't need to get all four.
Exactly. Right. So, but once again, this is as good as we're going to get. If we're going to get anything at all, this is as good as we're going to get. Because to go at this any other way requires 60 votes in the Senate. And we know we're not going to get that. All right? So that's where that stands. As soon as I can get my hands on it, I'll read it. And we'll put it up on our Facebook. And we'll link to it on Facebook and such as that.
And at least two of them need to get on board, because you can't underestimate the power of getting rid of the mandates.
It's
huge.
It is. I mean, just that just that alone is almost worth it.
Yes.
You know, because of the burden that it puts on small business people like Rick Brown.
Yeah. We put people back to work full time if that happens. And we haven't been able to do that in 8 years.
I know it. Because of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not everything, but it is a heck of a lot. And it would be stupid not to take what we can get and get it. So we'll, and by the way, they're saying they're going to have a vote next week. So it's going to, and we've been telling you they're going to pop up and it's going to happen fast. We've been telling you on this show that they've been working behind the scenes. And they're going to pop up with something, and then the vote's going to come soon after that. And that's exactly what is playing out. Also, the president last night made some news, and one had to do with the wall. He has come up with a very clever idea.
He's going to make it a solo wall.
Yeah, monetize it, as he puts it.
Yeah, and he's proposing it be covered in solar panels.
Yep.
And he said that way Mexico will not have to pay as much.
And it's actually brilliant, because it's in a part of the country where it's a practical place to put. I mean, they've got big old solar arrays in the deserts out there and stuff in California. I mean, it's absolutely ingenious. This guy never ceases to amaze, right? And he also, in terms of immigrants, he either wants to write a law or implement the law as it exists, but he proposes that immigrants who come to this country need to be able to support themselves. And in fact, that's the way it was when you came here.
That's the law as it was when I came here.
What year did you actually first come here?
1989.
89. So it wasn't all that long ago.
Well,
I mean, in overall terms, but
20 plus.
But a lot has changed since then.
Yes, it has. But you know, when I came, we were not allowed to be a burden on the state.
Nor should
somebody
you be.
Had to sign that if anything went wrong, that they would pick up the tab.
Sponsor,
right? And we didn't get WIC when the kids were born. We didn't get anything. We had to fend for ourselves.
And did you?
I'm still here.
And you raised three daughters, all who have gone through college. And
two are still in college, but yeah, I'm paying for it.
And they're very
big
smart.
Big time. Yeah,
and,
they
and
are
by
smart.
The way, ladies and gentlemen, he is paying for it. And they're very smart.
Yeah.
So you did all right. Even with all those burdensome requirements, you somehow managed to do okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I would venture a wager that you're better off for it. Right?
Oh, definitely, because if you don't get any handouts, you've got nothing to fall back on. You have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit on your laurels and do nothing. Although I guess I could have written on a piece of cardboard and stood at the red light. But no,
you don't have
that.
The face for it.
No, I don't have a face for radio, that's for sure.
My grandparents came in the same way.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, there's no thought of coming here to live off the dole. There was no dole.
No.
And there's no turning back.
You know, right. Traditionally, people came here to live out the American experience by being a part of it, not a burden to it. You know what I'm saying? And somewhere along the line, we sort of got off the path that we needed to be on.
This is still the land of opportunity. This is still the number one destination for immigrants. Although, nowadays, you got to wonder whether it's because of the welfare benefits.
Yeah,
right. Sure it is. Sure
well,
it is.
If the president has his way, and I got a feeling he will, that's going to stop.
Of course, We just found out that my grandmother never went the next step and actually became a citizen, so technically she was an illegal alien until 1961.
Don't say anything.
You're one of those kids.
All right.
You're one of those kids.
All right. We're going to, and by the way, one last bit of news item here, and then we'll take a break and get to our guest. The FBI has now declared the terrorist attack on that police officer in Flint, Michigan yesterday a terrorist attack. All right. It took them longer than it should have, but they have declared it a terrorist attack. They did not go as far as to say it was an Islamic terrorist attack. But that's exactly what it was. The police officer will survive, and the terrorist is in custody.
Well, you know, he did shout,
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
But they don't report it as that anymore on the TV.
No.
They say, he shouted, God is great, in Arabic.
Yeah, well, that's, in fact, not what he's shouting. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries and our guest, so please stay with us. And you can call with questions for the guest as well, if you choose to do so, at 407-774-8255. All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries. We are live. Rick Brown, Aubrey Conn, and myself, Christopher Hart. And now I'd like to add to the mix here our guest for today. He is in town for the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention, which is going on here in Orlando this weekend. He is Rear Admiral Don Loren of the Vets for Energy. Admiral Loren, thanks for being on the American Adversaries today. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Okay. Well, just first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from the South Shore of Long Island, New York.
Okay.
I left there at 18 years old, went to the Naval Academy, spent 32 years in the Navy, then about another 8 years in various positions in Washington, D.C. And I live in a suburb of Washington, Alexandria, Virginia. As you mentioned earlier, a retired Navy Rear Admiral, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, the first Director of Operations Support at the National Counterterrorism Center. So much of my life has been dedicated to service to the nation and the subjects of national security.
Well, we certainly, on behalf of all of us here, thank you so very much for dedicating your life to us.
Well, thank you. You're kind.
All right. Are you going to be speaking at the convention?
I am. I'm going to be speaking Saturday. I spoke here 2 years ago, and I will be updating everybody on some important energy issues with respect to national security.
Okay.
First of all,
what is Vets for Energy?
Okay. Well, Veterans for Energy is a grassroots organization made of entirely volunteers. Consisting of, we'd like to say, a significantly representative portion of the 23 million veterans in our nation today. And Veterans for Energy is dedicated to taking all the expertise, the service, the dedication of those veterans who have tremendous and intimate knowledge of national security issues and getting the people across the country to have honest, open dialogue and discussion with respect to energy policies, because we as Veterans for Energy and we as veterans understand the important linkage between sound energy policies and our national security.
I was going to ask you, how does energy policy and national security, I mean, I can see, obviously, the military needs fuel and things of that nature. We need to fuel our economy. Is that what you're talking about here in terms of security?
Well, that certainly is an element of it. You have to remember that the national security is significantly broader than just military issues. If you take a look at a document called the National Security Strategy of the United States, and it's issued every 4 to 2 years, the last issue was in February 2015, and it describes all the elements of national security. And those include things such as military, diplomatic, defense, economic, various socio considerations. And the bottom line is we're a very diverse nation, and there are many, many facets that contribute to our security, and of course, defense and military being a significant one, a number of those elements as well.
Admiral, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my impression that the Pentagon's policy on energy is this in a nutshell. One, we rely on fossil fuels. Two, fossil fuels are limited in supply. Therefore, three, we should use the rest of the world's energy first and ours last. Is that at all accurate in terms of the way the Pentagon used to look at it? And if so, is it changing?
I'm not sure I would describe it in exactly those terms, although you're not far from the mark. First of all, let me say this, and get me back on track if I wander a bit in answering this, because it is a complicated answer.
Okay.
First of all, we are an energy society. There is no one listening to this broadcast this evening that can look around and find anything within their eyesight that wasn't manufactured, produced, raised, or transported without energy. We are an energy nation. It is an integral fiber in the fabric of our nation. We've become complacent with it, but the fact of the matter is, we depend on energy. It is our lifeblood. Our life would change significantly if we didn't have the significant energy sources we consume every day. One. Two, the Department of Defense is the largest consumer of energy in our nation. It takes an awful lot to make the Department of Defense operate and provide the security and the preparedness of the nation. I will also add to you, and this is where, again, remember the very complex nature of national security. Let's look at homeland security. There are approximately 17,800 first responder organizations in the United States today, not to mention over 7,000 law enforcement agencies as well, all of which contribute to our homeland element of national security. They, too, are all fueled by tremendous amounts of energy, whether it be your local community fire pumper, the jaws of life that people cut accident victims out of cars with, or virtually any pump or anything devoted to saving lives and responding. So the bottom line is we depend on energy. It's our lifeblood. Now, I would take exception to your statement about using everybody else's energy. For years, we were dependent on exterior sources of energy. With advances in technology, with really harnessing the value of things like fracking, with our own efficient conservation and efficient use of technologies, at efficient mining technologies, we have become the number one oil and natural gas producer in the world. Most Americans are stunned when they learn that. They say, no, it's Saudi Arabia or the Russians or the Venezuelans. No, within the last few years, the United States has become the leading oil and natural gas provider in the world. All right. So the bottom line is we still import more oil and gas and energy products than I personally believe we should. And we have to wean ourselves from the cartels, from the nations that wish to do us harm, from exterior sources of energy. And let me just end this because I've really gone on, and I'm sure you have more questions on it. The reality is, now Veterans for Energy promotes all sources of energy because we are an energy-dependent nation. That would be everything from wind to solar to thermal to nuclear to the types of energies we've yet to harness. But the reality is, as predicted by numerous authorities, we probably are going to be dependent on fossil fuels clearly for the remainder of this century.
Okay.
So that's a long explanation to your question, but it is complicated.
Well, but you touched a lot of bases and you covered a lot of material. It's very informative. I did not know the Defense Department, for one, is the largest consumer of energy in our nation. Admiral, we have to take a hard break, but if you'll stay with us, we'll pick it up on the other side. We are speaking with Rear Admiral Don Loren of Vets for Energy. He'll be speaking, as you heard him say, Saturday at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention right here in Orlando. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Don't forget, you can listen to this show again, rebroadcast tonight on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, rednationrising.us, midnight Eastern Standard Time.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, the American Adversaries here live. Don't forget, at 7 o'clock, Larry Elder comes up on these same stations. Love listening to Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, the great Eldersky. Yeah. All right, that is Rick Brown. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn. We're in the studio, and on the line with us is Rear Admiral Don Loren. He is in town. Are you in town now, Admiral?
I am.
All right. Well, welcome to Orlando. He is here for the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention. He'll be speaking there Saturday. And he's also with an organization called Vets for Energy. And is there a website where people can visit Vets for Energy, Admiral?
There is. It's www.vets4energy.com. And there's all sorts of good stuff there about what we do and some of the things we like to promote discussion of. And there is something extremely important, in my opinion. There's a link to a job translator. One of our positions is we believe the young men and women that have worn the cloth of the nation are ideally suited for the jobs that will be coming open in the future in the energy industry. You know, it's predicted that within the next 5 years, approximately 50% of the energy production and development workforce will be retiring. And that's going to provide about 1 million jobs. And we think these are jobs that are very well suited for the young men and women who have served in the military. So there is a translator link on that website that will convert military operational skills into some of the criteria requirements in the energy industry. And vice versa, the energy hiring people can go in, enter their requirements, and show you the target military occupational specialties that would be best suited for those jobs. We're taking that. We're going to work with community colleges, labor unions, and local governments, and we're going to do our best to make sure that our veterans looking for work are trained, enter journeyman and apprenticeship programs, and are qualified for some of the really good high-paying jobs in the energy industry.
And they are excellent jobs. I mean, most of them start off with six figures. Admiral, the new administration obviously has a different take on energy independence than the last administration did. The new administration is far more willing to, as you put it, rely on fossil fuels. What do you see in terms of what this administration has already done, and do you know what they may have yet in store?
Well, I'm not going to predict what the administration has in store. But what I will do is I'll talk about some of the things they've done. I believe going ahead with some of the pipelines is extremely important. Remember, infrastructure and the transportation of energy is critical to that lifeblood we discussed in the earlier segment of your program. So pipelines are critical. And we have hundreds of thousands of miles of pipeline crisscrossing the country already. So it's good that we move on with that. We get energy to its points of exportation and refinement, and we make sure that we have a sound, strong energy network. And I would also say that there are a number of studies that have shown that transporting fuels in pipelines is significantly safer and reduces less carbon footprint than doing it in rail cars, which we currently do and have done for many, many years. So the pipelines is important. The second most important is a willingness to open up some of the offshore drilling and most importantly, allow seismic exploration. We have vast, untapped resources on the continental shelf surrounding the United States. It's unimaginable the amount that could be out there. And what we need to do is we need to have a good understanding of what's available so that we can continue over the years to harness those tremendous resources we've been given as a nation and use them to feed that tremendous energy consumption we talked about earlier. As example, some of the things of the previous administration had banned seismic exploration for about 7 years.
Why would they do that? What was so upsetting about seismic exploration? Because it's just a technique to determine what's under the ground, in essence.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, many people claim that there is perhaps some upsetting effect on sea life mammals. But the reality is there are numbers of studies that show that really is not the case. And even the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, BOEM, has stated that there's no evidence of harm to marine animals from seismic surveying in the 80-year history that they have been in existence. So the bottom line is, that's one of the things people have perhaps misinterpreted and used as an excuse not to explore. But if you delay the exploration for 7 years, it takes 10 to 15 years to produce, extract, develop the resources you find, and finally get them to production so we can use them. So now we're looking at easily 22-23 years delay in the ability to harness energy that we need to fuel our economy and provide our national security.
Admiral, let me ask you this. The price of oil has been falling the last couple of weeks or so. It's the low of the last 11 months or so. Does that make your task much more difficult, or is the determination there to forge ahead regardless of the price of oil?
Well, you know, you got to realize that Veterans for Energy are not economists. We're not selling oil products. Oil is a commodity, and there are going to be fluctuations in the market based on production and supply and demand. But what we want to do is make sure that veterans use their understanding of national security issues to make sure that there are informed discussions and debates when we make policy decisions concerning energy at the municipal, the state, and the national level. You cannot have these discussions without including the imperatives associated with national and homeland security. And again, we are not even advocating a specific position. We are saying that you cannot make these decisions in the absence of sound discussion of all the facets that go into homeland and national security.
So is it fair to say then that you're letting your military expertise guide you here rather than any sort of political leanings?
Yeah, I would say yes, entirely. That's why this is a group of volunteer veterans who are familiar with the elements of national security and are familiar with the impact of energy demands on our national security, to just make sure that as we make these decisions, that the discussions are multifaceted and include all the elements associated with such a decision.
All right. We just have a few minutes left, so let me ask you a couple of questions, and if you could sort of be brief in the answer. First of all, hydraulic fracking, you said all of the above. Fracking has been a very innovative process. It's actually been around quite some time, and yet there seems to be a lot of controversy about it. Do you see that controversy, once again, being problematic?
Well, it's problematic because people introduce into arguments things that are based on conjecture and personal feeling and not fact. As you said, fracking has been with us for about 75 years. It is a proven practice. It is directly responsible for our being the oil and natural gas leader of the world today because of the advances in it. And of course, it has to be done correctly. It has to be regulated. But we should not shy away from it. And many of the things associated with it, water contamination, exploding faucets, are absolutely incorrect and false.
Okay. The president last night proposed making the wall
a solar wall,
tongue in cheek, or is there some practicality to that?
I was watching the speech, and I turned to my wife, who's a tough woman. She's a retired Marine colonel.
And I said,
"That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant."
Innovative. What a great idea. Again, we are an all-inclusive sources of energy because that's what's required to make us strong.
All right. A final question about the convention tomorrow. Is this open to the public? But for whoever does attend, what are they going to see there?
Well, the convention is entirely for members of the VFW.
Okay.
And I might point out I am a life member of the VFW and the son of a life member of the VFW.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. So it is an organizational convention. But there's lots of discussion, and they have tremendous discussions on employment, on national security, as well as issues that are relevant to the local community and the VFW.
Okay, vetsforenergy.com. That's vets, the number 4, energy.com. And Admiral, thank you for being on the show with us today, and I hope you enjoy your time here in Orlando. And I'd like to stay in touch with you as energy policy progresses. And the final question, what do you think about Energy Secretary Perry?
I am very impressed with Secretary Perry. I've met him several times. I think he's an innovative thinker. He's a proven leader. And I think he's just the man to lead us in our energy decisions into the future.
Well, I tell you, it's comforting me to know that we got men and women like you and your wife and Secretary Perry out there working hard on our energy policy. It's a big comfort and a big change. We needed it.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Admiral. We appreciate you being on the show. Once again, that is Rear Admiral Don Loren, Vets for Energy. That's the number for vetsforenergy.com. And it is about time we had this type of
leadership. Absolutely.
And it's, you know, energy, as he said, you know, everything that we do in our lives is energy dependent. I don't care who you are. I don't care how yuppie or how millennial you are. It is energy.
You can't look at anything within your field of vision that didn't take energy to produce.
Right. And it does take all sources. You know, there is no true green energy in the sense that there's no cost to it, but there are multitudes of ways that we can derive the energy we need. And as the Admiral alluded to, things that we don't even know about yet, right? So the innovations that are yet to come. But in the meantime, we need to develop what we know.
Right.
And what we know is fracking. What we know is offshore drilling. What we know is what we have been doing.
It carries us into the future in a position of power.
And we're doing it far more cleaner now, or I should say far cleaner now than we have ever before. And it'll get even cleaner as we go. The cool thing about the energy industry is any waste means money out the door.
That's right.
So you want to capture every bit of it and use it as efficiently as you can.
Absolutely correct.
So,
talk about energy. Can you imagine watching the news with a Navy admiral and a Marine colonel sitting in their living room just quietly in the corner?
We should ask them if they had children, right?
That's going to be a high energy environment
Indeed. Those are the great, great folks. So, all right.
Great patriots.
All right. So, that's once again vets4energy.com. Vets, the number four, energy.com. All right. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up tonight's show. But don't forget, as I said, Larry Elder, the great Eldersky, is this thing on? Coming up next. You can turn it off now. Have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
The weather is heating up, and so is the Central Florida real estate market. Hi, I'm Pierce Outlaw, Vice President of Patriot Home Funding. The greatest asset a buyer has in a hot competitive market is the ability to close on time, at a great rate, and with no hassle. The home loan professionals at Patriot Home Funding are dedicated to making sure you get the best financing possible to make you the most attractive buyer possible. And if you are a seller, you need the peace of mind of knowing that your buyers are pre-approved by the most knowledgeable and experienced lender to ensure your sale closes. All it takes is one free 15-minute phone call to get your pre-approval today. Our 112 combined years of superior service and expertise will stand behind you as a buyer or seller to ensure your transaction closes on time, efficiently, with the best rate and lowest cost possible. Pick up that phone now and call Patriot Home Funding at 877-377-8123. That's 877-377-8123. Or visit us on the web at mypHF.com. That's mypHF.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, NMLS number 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
We believe in the truth. We believe that you trust our hosts and our news to give you the real answers, not fake news.
Not fake news.
You want the alternative to fake news. We give you breaking news when it happens. We are here for you. The and most honest talker, hands down. Honesty.
Honesty
is our middle name. News and talk you can trust.
I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you could hear what we talk about during the break.
No, but you don't. Can't. No, you
trust me, no, you don't. All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us tonight.
What did that comedian used to say? If you could read my mind, you would never stop slapping me.
Okay. All right. Once again, thanks for being with us. The Admiral, once again, that was a very informative interview, and we'll see if we can get him back again in the future. But that was fascinating that the Defense Department uses more energy. I guess as one entity, I could sort of see that, but, I mean, that's a lot of energy to be consumed.
I wonder how they measure that, though. You know, I'd like to see, because you think about the aircraft carriers that are nuclear-powered, I mean, that's a lot of wattage. I wonder based on consumption or just...
Right. Well, you know, in that case, it's producing its own.
That's right.
Right?
Well, you know, the White House used to produce a lot of hot air, which could be converted into energy, too.
Okay. All right. So, once again, the big news of the day is the health care bill is out in the Senate, and it's now going to be haggled out in the open for a while. The other big news is that the president tweeted out he does not have tapes of conversations in the White House. He has not installed any such recording devices in the White House, but he does not know if somebody else did.
And there goes another tweak. And the Democrats are going insane.
They are.
Why did he suggest that he did? Was he trying to mislead the American people?
Right, right. Does he mean that somebody else has reinstalled it?
Such idiots.
It is. I mean, first of all, any phone calls, you can almost rest assured, are recorded. Other than that, not so.
I liked his comment. I wanted to make sure James Comey told the truth.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, we saw it.
We know Comey's a liar.
Yeah, exactly.
So what better way to make him tell the truth than suggest there may be a recording somewhere?
See, the president had nothing else than to suggest that he would be able to verify if somebody's telling the truth or not. Mm-hmm. Because he was basically at the whim of James Comey. Whatever James Comey wanted to say was going to be taken as gospel truth.
Sure.
Right? So he wanted to make sure whatever that gospel truth was pretty accurate. And there was really no other way to do it. And he did. So it just shows you the cleverness of this president and how much smarter he is than the opponents give him credit for, or even than they are.
They don't even understand how smart he is.
He's so way over their head. As I've said on the show before, he's genius.
Con veffe.
Exactly. And what did the admiral say to his wife when he listened to the speech last night?
It was brilliant. He said brilliant idea.
And because it is.
It is.
I mean, you hear it and you want to laugh at first, but then you think, well, of course. Why not? And why not have the wall supply the energy for the electronic monitoring devices that it will have. Right. It's just like you have you got the little solar lights in your driveway. It's the same idea. And it's so brilliant in its simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole nother reason for building the wall, to hold up the solar panels.
Right.
It's not to hold out the Mexicans. It's to hold up the solar panels. So who cannot want that, right?
That's right.
I'm not right. touching that one.
You know, speaking of Mexico, we were talking a little bit earlier during the break. Mexico was just declared the second deadliest country in the world next to Syria.
Syria. You know, I'm not surprised.
Because of the drug trafficking and the cartels.
The cartel violence.
So what a great incentive to get that wall built.
Yeah, that is one of the huge incentives. And, of course, the opioid epidemic and all of that comes into play as well. And it's all about securing the nation from all sorts of threats. Mm-hmm. You know, not just the threats of illegal immigration, but the threats of terrorists coming here across the border, the threats of drugs coming across the border, all of that. And it is a physical barrier that would make a big dent in all of that. Will it stop it entirely? No. But it will make a big dent in it. And that's what we got to do. I mean, and it sends the message that we're serious about maintaining security in this nation. And we can't allow ourselves to become so complacent that we just get used to illegal activity.
Right.
It will be, it's poison.
That's right.
It's poison to any society, much less a free and open one.
You cannot let them normalize illegal activity, whether it's violence or immigration or whatever else.
Exactly. So there the president is, once again, being his old genius self, and the media and everybody else trying to take him down. By the way, don't have any new hires yet today from Moolah, but he is working steadily at putting together his special counsel's office, and we'll keep an eye on that. Speaking of that, I had been tweeting out, I know you saw them, Rick, that we need to be investigating the investigators. And I think I talked about it on
absolutely.
The show. I can't remember. But lo and behold, the Freedom Caucus in the House has said they want to hold hearings on what is Mueller doing.
Yep.
What is he doing and why is he doing
it? Why is he doing it?
Exactly.
Why is he bringing Clinton loyalists into an investigation about Donald Trump?
Exactly. And if it's not going to be about Donald Trump, what is it going to be about?
Right.
Exactly. So we'll keep an eye on that, but it is high time that somebody look over this. We can't have someone who is immune to the checks and balances of our form of government.
Right.
And you can't appoint a special counsel and then just let him go willy-nilly, do whatever he wants. That is not the way it's supposed to work. So he needs a check and balance on him just like everybody else.
That's right.
And maybe even more so because of the vast authority that he will have to investigate.
I thought the appointment was crazy when he did it.
You did. You know, I didn't right away, but I have seen the religion now. I mean, yep. I got religion now on this thing. And
contributor to the Clinton campaign. Why would you ever put him in charge of an independent investigation of the president?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Makes none at all. But that's what they do in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they make no sense.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what we make sense out of the nonsensical around here. That's what we do. All right, we're out of time tonight. Once again, Larry Elder coming up tomorrow night. Don't forget, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries. The website is AmericanAdversaries.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio on Twitter. And you can follow Rick at
Politically Uneasy.
That's
Politically UNEasy.
Easy. All right. All that's on Twitter. And thanks again for being with us tonight. Aubrey Kahn, of course, will be back Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we'll be here to wrap up the weekend. And tomorrow night, we'll be here to start the weekend.
Hey.
So tune in. Okay, thanks so very much for being with us tonight. We really do appreciate you spending some of your precious time with us. All right, that's going to wrap it up. So,
night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.